right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnow, and you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that will inspire you to think in a new way, to think of possibilities that perhaps you don't ordinarily think about. And each week, I invite people I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people that have a big vision, people that are inspired to do great things. And today, I've invited Emma Bell, who is from England. And she is the founder of the Global Resilience Project. And it's quite a feat. And you're going to learn about some of the secrets to people who have thrived in the face of adversity. So also, Emma is a judge in England, an administrative judge. I believe that's the right category. But let me introduce Emma, and she can tell you a little bit about herself, and welcome Emma Bell to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm delighted to join you. I do have to say I'm from Scotland, not England, and I say that actually not for the benefit of your US listeners, but for the benefit of your UK listeners.
All right. Well, thank you for that, and show you how much I know living in California about the rest of the world. Geography, but I just think your project is bold, it's visionary, and I'm sure for people who get familiar with it, life changing. And so tell me a little bit about, first of all, briefly, the Global Resilience Project, because I want to really go into you and who you are and really what motivated you to take this on. So briefly, what is the Global Resilience Project?
Yeah, so I'm delighted to be able to share a little about the project with your listeners, Mark. The Global Resilience Project involves us traveling around the world to meet 50 exceptional people who have thrived in the face of 50 different kinds of adversity. And the project was a brainchild of mine because I was passionate about understanding why it is some people thrive in the face of challenge while others fall apart. And I hunted high and low to see if any research of this kind had ever been done before. And I couldn't find any. And therefore, I didn't know what the answer to that question was. And so I decided that I would give up my role as a judge. I had a lovely tenured salaried position as a judge, an employment judge here in the UK. And I'm so passionate about finding out the answer to that question that I stepped away, gave up my role as a salaried employment judge. I do still remain a fee-paid employment judge, but I don't have all of the security now. And that, you know, doesn't bother me because I'm so passionate about finding the answer to this question, Mark. And I'm so excited about what we have now discovered as part of the Global Resilience Project.
Well, what I'm really curious about is, I know that when somebody takes something on like that, there's something in their life that was pivotal, that perhaps, you know, the old idea that we teach what we want to learn. Mm. So what motivated you to, was there something in your life that happened a long time ago that you wanted to kind of get into this and sink your teeth into it? And that's kind of what I would always like to know. What is a story that motivates somebody to do something like this?
And you're right, there's always a story which drives our passion. And my story is that, like many, many people, I had a challenging childhood. I was one of three siblings. And my mother had a very challenging marriage with my father. And I watched as members of my family coped with adversity in drastically different ways. I found that I was probably the most resilient of all of the members of my family in dealing with what we had to face. And but that said, I still had a lot of very unhealthy habitual conditioning, habitual responses to challenges that came beyond my childhood later in my life. And my road to Damascus moment was when I was 30 and my marriage had broken down. I was a workaholic. I had low self-esteem, but to the external world, I had achieved incredible success. I was a partner in a law firm. You know, I had apparently everything that society tells us we should have, but I was deeply unhappy. And I'd always imagined that I was naturally resilient until that point, because I seemed to be doing better than other members of my family, and yet I crashed and burned, and I really wondered what the point was of going on. And I wanted to know where my resilience had gone. I suffered from depression, and in a two-year period, because I'm a reformed lawyer, I felt like there must be an answer to this question. And in those 2 years, I read about 200 books, Mark, to try and understand what was happening to me and to my mind. And one thing led to another. And alongside being a partner of a law firm, I set up a leadership development program. I became a coach. And in those roles, in doing leadership work with senior leaders, in being a coach, I noticed that some people were really able to thrive in the face of challenge, and some people just weren't able to thrive. And time and again, I thought, what's the difference? Why is it? What distinguishes a person who thrives from a person who doesn't, who simply survives? And even then, they've got their fingernails red as they cling on surviving. And it's really a question that's probably haunted me for most of my 20s and 30s. And I had an increased desire in my 40s to find out the answer to that question, which is why I took the radical step of stepping away from a life tenured position to find the answer. And I'm so glad I did.
Right. And your husband, he was totally on board.
Did he have
the same question, or was it more to support you? Or because I know you've traveled. What amazed me is you traveled almost all over the world to people's homes, including my home, and in Marin County near San Francisco. And I know you've been all over, and it sounds like a real adventure. And I was impressed by your dedication and your commitment. And I think it's so important what you're doing. And so what was his feeling about this?
Okay. So first of all, I've always been the kind of person that if something's worth doing, you've got to be all in. Otherwise there's no point in doing it at all. And I was lucky enough to meet Graham, my wonderful husband, my best friend, and my number one supporter when I was 32. And so we've been together for some 16 years now. And he is just so supportive of everything that I do. And without hesitation, he supported my decision to step away from our security. He supported my decision to want to go all out and meet 50 extraordinary people from around the world. And he absolutely committed to coming with me physically, mentally, emotionally on this journey, which meant him making significant sacrifices in his own business to do that. And, you know, I'm not sure I would have or could have done it without him. And I know that we have both been significantly altered by the people we've met, the stories we've heard, and the 9 secrets to thriving that we've learned from these 50 extraordinary people.
So that was a question I was going to ask you, is would you have done this on your own? Support is so important. And that's the big, I guess you'd never really know, right?
Because, well, no, I wouldn't. I don't think I would have done, you know, Mark, that's funny. The funny thing, I mean, I started talking to my husband about this quite some time before the project began. And I don't think it would have gotten off the ground if Graham hadn't been wholly supportive of it. I wouldn't have wanted to be away from him for so long. I mean, we've traveled over 35,000 miles to do this project. We have been away from home for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. And I wouldn't have wanted to be away from him for that long. But also, it would have been difficult to have me so fundamentally changed by what I've learned and him not. And I think we've definitely grown much closer. I mean, we're a very close couple anyway. And if someone had said to me, you'll be closer after this, I would have said that's not possible. But in fact, it is possible. We've become closer, but we've also grown hugely as individuals because of what we've learned and how touched we've been by these incredible stories. And that, you know, I'd love as part of the interview to share maybe one or two of the stories that we've heard, just to give your listeners a sense of just the extraordinary people or lives that we've become part of.
Well, why don't you do that? But before you do that, I'd like, there's one thing that you were saying, was it profoundly changed you doing this project? And I was just curious in what ways?
So when I had my Road to Damascus moment and I read these 200 books in 18 months, that was an enormous shift for me. I stopped seeking the approval of others. I became much more self-reliant. I really grew as a person. And honestly, I thought that that would have been the biggest shift I would ever face in my life. So I became a meditator. I released a lot of past hurts, became very grateful consciously for everything in my life and so on. However, now that I understand that there are 9 secrets to thriving, what I am doing is consciously integrating more of some of the things that I had been less focused on. So I think of the 9 secrets, I probably had been living fairly thoroughly through 5 or 6 of them, but not so thoroughly through the balance of them. And I've been very conscious about integrating all of them into the way in which I live my life every day. And it's that that's allowed me to thrive way beyond where I was before. And I wouldn't have thought that was possible. I mean, I genuinely felt very purposeful, very driven, very happy, very balanced, contented, and so on. But honestly, these 9 secrets, when you live consciously aligning yourself with each of them, it does, it just works.
So let me ask you a question. I do want to have you share with us some of these secrets. But what I want to know is first of all, I want to let the listeners know you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Emma Bell is our guest. She's the founder of the Global Resilience Project. How do people, first of all, find out more about this project? Are there going to be books on this? Is there going to be a video, a movie, documentary? Mm-hmm. What are your plans for this?
Okay. So first of all, people can hop on to one of 2 websites. One is emmajbell.com. So Emma, J for judge, bell.com. And you can sign up and receive a free copy of my book, The True You, and you'll automatically then get all of the information that we're releasing to do with the Global Resilience Project. Alternatively, your listeners can go on to www.theglobalresilienceproject.com and sign up for our newsletter and ebook there. And we're just on the cusp, Mark, of releasing our suite of videos. So there was one thriver who didn't want to be videoed because of her particular physical disability. But other than that, we have 49 videos of interviews we've conducted with 49 of the thrivers. And we're about to start releasing those just next week. And in these videos, you can start to learn what the 9 secrets to thriving are. And those will be released over the next, gradually over the next 2 or 3 months. I'm also going to release my first in a series of ebooks with one of the secrets to thriving, and that will be out in the next couple of weeks. So if your listeners sign up either at emmajbell.com or the globalresilienceproject.com, then they'll receive these videos and the ebook. And to answer your other question, yes, there will be a hard copy of the book that will be out in January 2020, so still a while to wait. But if they sign up, we'll be releasing lots of information between now and January 2020 about the 9 secrets to thriving.
I just think this is such an exciting project and so beneficial and inspiring that I can't wait until this comes out, because I know when you first shared this with me was probably 6 months ago when I was interviewed by you. Tell us also about your podcast.
Yeah, so my podcast has had to go on hold. My podcast is The Inside Shift, and I've had to put that on hold because I've been so absorbed in traveling and interviewing and pulling together these 9 secrets. And you know, I'm in a different place now, Mark, where actually what I'd like to do is transition over to a podcast where we focus on the 9 secrets to thriving, because I know they work. And that's really what I want to do. As I shared with you when we met, our objective at the Global Resilience Project is to touch 10 million lives by May 2020. And, you know, that's an audacious task. And it's all about service. We went through an enormous research process in order to find our 50 thrivers. And one of the qualifying values that our 50 thrivers had to meet was that they want to serve their community or serve the people. So for example, you're serving in your own way through your coaching and through this radio show and so on. And so our project is all about service. And so my podcast will shift from where it's at the moment to serving by sharing the 9 secrets to thriving with the people who already listen to my podcast. And you can get that on Podbean, or again, if you subscribe at emmajbell.com, you'll receive links to my podcasts when they're released. But I do want to do podcast interviews with the 50 thrivers and also with other people who specialize in the areas of the 9 secrets that we've discovered.
So I guess now it's time, right, to share. We talked before, and that in our limited time that we have, it's really not going to be possible to share all of the 9 secrets, and we want people to hear the stories of the individuals, but perhaps you can share a few of these secrets. You know, one other thing before you do that is, how did you source these 50 people? I know that, how do they come to you? How did you discover them?
It was an enormous amount of work. We have 7 people on this team, so it's not just me. We have 7 people working on this research project. And we had to identify what thriving meant for the purposes of the project. We had to identify who a thriver was, what our objectives were, what our values were. And we literally scoured the internet and used all of our contacts to come up with a qualifying pool of people. So I think initially we had about 120 people who fit our criteria and whom we began to approach for initial face-to-face interviews to see if they were the right people to be involved in the project. So this has taken months and months and months just to find the 50 people. And then of course we had made a commitment to go meet them in person wherever they were. And then we had our travel schedule to organize and so on. But it was a massive piece of, massive project in itself just to find the 120 starter that took us ultimately to our 50 thrivers.
So I guess we're ready, right, to share a couple of these people. I know we talked about sharing 2 or 3. So who are some of the peep stories you want to share, and where did you go to interview them?
So I'm going to start with one that was very close to home. It's a man who lives in Edinburgh which is only about 30 miles away. So I'm starting with someone who is very close to home. And the secret to thriving that's come through all of the interviews that we've done is the importance of support. And what Paul Smith did was add another dimension to this idea of support. And he said, look, support has been critical for me. So let me tell you a little about Paul Smith. Paul Smith was the Scottish bodybuilding champion, and he was a martial arts champion. This man was fit and strong until in March 2017, Paul was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. Now, your listeners will perhaps know enough about the disease to know that it is one of the cruelest diseases. And Paul is thriving despite a diagnosis of type 3 motor neuron disease, which is the most aggressive form of MND. And why I say Paul is thriving is that even in the face of doctors telling him that he's going to die, even in the face of him saying that whereas he used to be martial arts champion and now he can't brush his own teeth, he is determined, absolutely determined, to stay alive long enough for a cure for MND to be found so that he can help and support others with that diagnosis. And so Paul meditates every day. He visualizes his cells and his genes and the changes that are happening in his body. He does all he can to either halt the progression or reverse the progression of the disease. And what he has said, he cited a number of the nine secrets as being the key to him being able to thrive in the face of such an awful diagnosis. But he'd said, look, chief among them is support. You know, first of all, I had to accept where I was, that I had this diagnosis, but I didn't have to accept the consequences that the doctors were telling would be visited on me with this diagnosis. And I needed to surround myself with supporters who saw the world the way that I did. So his partner absolutely believes that we can create changes in our body through visualization, through meditation. He surrounded himself with experts, with supporters who saw the world the way that he saw it, so that all he was seeing and hearing was, you can do this. Now, he continues to fight the disease, and we will continue to support Paul in his fight against the disease, but he's an incredible thriver. So support from people who will really support the way you see yourself, but also challenge you appropriately, is absolutely vital if we want to thrive every day.
What I like about this is that so often we get, let's say, a disease, we get a diagnosis, and they give you what the prognosis is based on statistics. But to realize that if you're, let's say, an exceptional thriver, statistics really, those on the average don't really apply to you. What applies to you is, what about thrivers? What's the statistic for thriver, which they never check? And I think that's to me a lesson is that we're all individuals and we have different potentials and we're not necessarily the average person. And so if you're a thriver, you can throw those stats out the window, and certainly it sounds like Paul's going to do that.
I couldn't agree more. Paul says people have survived and recovered from a diagnosis of MND. Not many, but if they can, why can't I? And his purpose in life, because purpose is another thing that's come through very strongly in our research, his purpose in life is just to stay alive so he can serve others, which is incredible. Another thriver who talks about support, I mean, who also talks about all the other nine secrets, but support, as I've said, is one of the secrets, is a man called Bjørn Eiler. Now, Bjørn is Norwegian, and he survived the Utøya Island attack. So your listeners may remember that Anders Breivik, a terrorist, went onto the small island of Utøya in Norway, where the Labour youth camp were having a weekend away, and he shot and killed 63 people on the island, as well as a number of people in Oslo on the mainland. And Bjorn Ehler was looking after an 8 and 9 year old. He essentially rescued them from the gunman, and he pulled them into the water to try and hide. But Bjorn couldn't swim, and he had a big, heavy woolen sweater on. And Anders Breivik came around the corner and saw them and wandered towards them with his rifle raised and looked Bjorn Ehler in the eye and pulled the trigger. And Bjorn ducked, but he literally thought in that moment he was dead. And he ducked into the water. The bullet just missed him. And so he survived a terrorist attack, and he lay in the water with 8 and 9 year old for another hour until the police said that the area was clear. And he said that's something that a lot of people just could barely survive emotionally, psychologically. But Bjorn didn't just survive it, he's thriving. And his purpose in life is to help people understand why it is people become extremists, and to work with communities to prevent other people within those communities from being radicalized so that terrorism is prevented at source. And he credits his being able to thrive, to bounce forward in the face of Utoya, as being the support that he had. He became involved. I mean, hashtag Me Too has become very popular, but he talks about Me Too before it was popular. That he sought out other survivors of terrorist attacks, survivors of Northern Ireland terrorism, so that they could talk about how they felt. And he said without that support, he wouldn't be thriving.
Wow. So we're running out of time. So what I was wondering is coming back to, this is the Inspire Possibility Show, and I always like to ask people, if there's one thing you want to say to our listeners, what would that be? What is that?
Be aware that resilience is a choice. It's a practice. It's not something that you either have or don't have. And that if you're really passionate about thriving in your life, of fulfilling your personal potential and living the best life that you can, then please read, watch the information that we're producing on the 9 Secrets to Thriving, because they will undoubtedly enable you to live your best life.
So again, Emma, tell us again how people can find out more about the project.
So they can go on to www.theglobalresilienceproject.com and sign up for our newsletter, which will also lead to videos and an ebook coming out, or they can go on to emmajbell.com, and there'll be a pop-up there inviting them to download for free my book, The True You, and by signing up for that, they'll also be included in a list of people who receive the information about the project.
Well, thank you, Emma Bell, founder of the Global Resilience Project, for being our guest today on the Inspire Possibility Show. It's amazing your commitment, your dedication, your wisdom, and all you're doing to reach people and change people's attitudes toward adversity and to help them really develop more resilience inside themselves and to realize that there's lots of other people out there that have had some horrific circumstances in their lives that didn't just survive, but are now thriving. So thank you for listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. And we look forward to you next week and when we have another amazing guest. Until then, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com. And click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.